The presenting sponsor of Upmarket is Aereo, the best place to grow and manage your real estate media business, online at aereo.com. That's A-R-Y-E-O.com. Coming to you from the makeshift Upmarket studio in the beautiful Ojai Valley of Southern California, this is Upmarket, a podcast about the business of real estate photography and media. My name is Reed Fish. I'm the CEO and a co-founder of Upmarket Media. My other co-founder, not here today. Oh my goodness. Chelsea, producing from afar. Sorry. We do have a guest coming up, but first I do want to go over this big exciting news that we have still, and it's our partnership with iGUIDE for these Road to PMRE episodes. And so, as you know by now, iGUIDE is going crazy on this podcast, and they are giving away two all expenses paid trips to PMRE, and they have a special early bird drawing for an iGUIDE Planix Pro camera and a 3-month subscription to iGUIDE Instant for free. I'm sure you want one of those three fabulous items. You're just going to go to Instagram, you're going to follow Upmarket Pod, and you're going to follow Go iGUIDE. And then you're going to go to goiguide.com/PMRE. And there you're going to enter your email address. You're going to get on our mailing list, iGUIDE's mailing list. Then you're entered to win. And we are going to give away later this summer two all expense paid trips to PMRE and that Planix Pro system. And also, when you register for the sweepstakes, you will get emailed a code for $50 off the PMRE ticket. And just to clarify once again, if you buy an early bird PMRE ticket, if you buy any PMRE ticket and you win the iGUIDE promotion, you will get reimbursed by iGUIDE for that ticket. So we definitely want to make sure everyone is buying their PMRE tickets and getting their travel taken care of, because iGUIDE will reimburse that travel if you've already bought it. So get in there. It makes so much sense. Go iGUIDE.com/PMRE to enter. And speaking of PMRE, this is a Road to PMRE episode. So guess what? We are going to talk to one of the speakers at this year's conference, and it's Matthew Anderson. And Matthew, I forgot to go over what the hell I'm going to call you.
That works. Please leave this in.
Yeah, you're a commercial photographer out of St. Louis, Missouri. There we go. That's
close
it.
To yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Sorry, it's Kansas City, Missouri.
I love it. And here he is, Matthew Anderson. Who are you again?
Yeah, exactly. So you're not a real estate photographer per se at this point, right?
Currently, yes. That's correct. Yeah,
but you have been.
Yes.
If you go to PMREconference.com, you're going to see all about this PMRE conference, which is moving this year to Palms Casino and Resort in Las Vegas. It's November 13th through 15th. And the big news this year, of course, besides the move to the Palms, is that there's an optional third day, which focuses on commercial and corporate photography. And so, Matthew, you're going to be speaking in the traditional 2-day window, that first 2 days.
Correct.
But you're coming at this from the perspective of someone who's kind of transitioned out of real estate photography. And I think you're kind of like almost maybe a bridge speaker between the kind of real estate side and the commercial side, right?
That's exactly it. Yeah. Talking with Brandon a few times, and actually got a chance to talk to him in person at Shifter Summit a few weeks ago. Yeah. He's kind of utilizing me as that bridge, sort of that in-between transitional type of talk, because I did do real estate for years, did it for, I think, almost 5 years. Today I was looking through old photos, kind of looking over some stuff. And I think the last real estate shoot I did was 2 years ago. So it's still relatively fresh.
Right.
I thought I stopped in 2020, but yeah, there was still occasionally a few sprinkled in there here and there. So yeah, that's kind of the point of some of the gist of what I'll be talking about too, is sort of, you know, if you were to draw a Venn diagram over real estate, and I think for the sake of the talk in this podcast, we'll refer to like everything else as commercial.
Right.
The Venn diagram actually overlaps quite a bit.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the thing. And I think most real estate photographers have taken a commercial gig or and it also depends on how you're defining commercial and all that. But, you know, we end up even, I think just the rank and file everyday real estate photographer is doing, you know, shoots for designers or licensing photos to designers and doing shoots for builders and, you know, or even commercial real estate agents. So I think there's quite a bit of overlap for most people. So, I, you know, I don't love in this podcast to get really into the history of how people get into it, but what can you just like really though summarize how you were able to make that transition from the day-to-day real estate to commercial work?
The part of it was, for step number one, was realizing that real estate for the most part wasn't necessarily the perfect fit for me, or vice versa. I wasn't the perfect fit to be a like full-time real estate photographer. I nerded out, and I still nerd out obviously, over the design and the architecture and things like that. And as I wanted to take my time, the clients that we shoot for, being real estate agents, don't really allow that a whole lot. So you may want to spend an hour just photographing a single kitchen or a living room, but you literally have 5 minutes, you know, take your four angles of that and go.
Yes.
And so after a while I started to realize that, okay, if I wanted to dive deeper into the style of, you know, setting up shots and shaping the light and all that sort of stuff. And real estate it's not the most conducive for that. And then the other thing, it's, you know, I'm probably preaching to the choir here in this podcast, but agents and realtors are a specific kind of breed, and
they're just the best.
They're the absolute best.
Yeah.
And I'm the worst. So
of course. Yeah. This is not a good
fit. And I got tired of kind of just the classic cliche stuff that every real estate photographer puts up with.
Yeah. And that's hit home all the time. I mean, I'm kind of in the CEO role. I'm not out there shooting very much. I will do it on occasion, but you know, the feedback we've even gotten from our employees, and we had an employee who left, was like, I just can't deal with realtors anymore. It's just like, it's so unpleasant for the photographers. And it's just because, you know, I've talked about this quite a bit of like realtors, they have so much pressure from their homeowners. And there's also so much pressure because if they don't close a deal, they're not going to get paid. It's just, they are under stress, and I think a lot of the stress that comes from the realtors to us is filtered stress from the homeowners. And so that's where it comes from, but still it's hard to deal with. So you're sitting there and you're having these same things that, you know, all of us have kind of gone through. And my solution to that was to scale the business and do more business and not shoot. You know, that was my solution. So your solution though was to kind of cultivate a different clientele.
Yeah, because I had a decent client list. I mean, they obviously kept me busy, and I would get a lot of people who would say, oh, you need to grow your team. You need to get more shooters. And I was sole proprietor the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I never really wanted to do that. I'm very protective of my work and the brand. And I was very much the brand of it too. I tried to put myself out there as much as possible. So, you know, I heard horror stories of other real estate teams who had done that. They might have a secondary shooter or a third shooter, and they might do great, but you know, maybe that secondary shooter is having a bad day and then just goes off on the real estate agent or stuff like, and then it puts a bad look on the whole team, including you, even though you might not have had anything to do with it. And that was just, you know, I understand it's a very glass half empty type of perspective to take on it, but it wasn't right for me. So that's when I decided, you know, maybe I'm going to start veering over. I'm not going to drop real estate completely, but I'm going to, you know, try to branch out, but with the end goal being kind of getting out of real estate over into what, you know, we'll call more of the commercial work.
I've thought of that as the solution, right? I mean, you can go a couple of different ways, but if you are good at real estate photography, you're going to reach a point where it's just too much and you're getting too much business. So you either have to raise prices and make yourself just the luxury photographer, or transition to something else where it's like, and obviously you're charging way more per shoot than you're charging for real estate photography.
Yeah. But I mean, the type of product that we're putting out as well is very, very different than real estate. I mean, I think the simplest way to dumb it down is real estate is a very numbers game. I mean, agents are wanting 20, 30, 40, 50 plus photos of a house.
Yeah, it's volume. You might get hired. Yeah,
exactly. And whereas a designer, I did a shoot the other day, we spent 2.5 hours on a shoot. We produced 4 photos.
Right.
Let's get this on camera. 4 photos. Yeah. That was it. But it, you know, it took a lot of time to set those up, but it's definitely not a volume business at all. It's more of like your own internal pressure and your client's pressure to make sure those photos are absolutely perfect because right. not only do you want to produce great images, but that's now a representation of their work as well.
Right. Well, and I kind of think that because in my own journey, like I was never about like the photography aspect of it. It was just more of a way to make some money. And I had some photography skills. So I never had that kind of love sure. for getting out there and shooting those type of images. And I think there are people who do love it and get into real estate and it kind of squeezes that love out of them just because of the volume or, you know, and yeah. I see, but I also see people out there, you know, posting on Facebook. I love this job. I love being out shooting. I get to see all these fantastic houses and whatever. And they're like, man, more power to them. I love that for them. That's so great. But I think if you do have that love, then, and I'm guessing you do, because if you're transitioning into that style of photography where you are spending all that time on a shoot, it's like, you really got to want to do it and you're taking pride in your work. When you're moving into more design kind of work and you're spending all this time at these shoots, the thing that I loved about real estate photography, the one thing is like the shoots are quick and I'd be out of there and I'd be on my way home. So for you, you're spending yeah. hours and hours there. So you must really love that craft of photography, and that love didn't get squeezed by real estate photography.
Yeah. And, you know, it's whatever kind of your makeup is to
sure.
fit the different type of genres within this umbrella. I consider the umbrella as architecture photography, and real estate mm-hmm. definitely falls within that. So, yeah, I mean, I have one real estate team where I set up the camera, we nail down the composition, and that takes a while too. But then the interior design team, it's literally four or five women deliberating on the staging of everything. And that right. will take.
Oh, yeah.
20 minutes to half an hour sometimes. And they are nitpicking how a blanket is thrown over a mm-hmm. couch, the position of a pillow, how it's chopped. I mean,
sure.
all this stuff. The way the pricing structured too, I love it because, you know, most architectural photographers for commercial work, again, they'll do a day rate plus a per image fee. So even though it may take 45 minutes to do one mm-hmm. photo,
right.
at the very least, I know that I'm still getting paid for my time.
Right.
So we could produce four photos an hour. We could produce one.
Right.
I'm not too upset either way. I get mm-hmm. to, even if it's just one, holy cow, that's a pretty relaxing shoot on my end. So
Right. Because you're not doing the staging, right? I mean, but how?
No, exactly.
How closely are you working with the designers? I mean, I'm sure you're giving the input in terms of like, hey, for the frame, you know, we should have some negative space here. We should do this or do that. But then do you just kind of sit back and let them then, you know, argue about the blanket?
It's a mix of both. You know, sometimes if they can't decide, they'll turn to, you know, hey, mm-hmm. you know, Matthew, what do you think about this?
Right.
And I'll relay my input and things like that. You know, I'll contribute. Right. I try to make these type of shoots as collaborative as
sure.
as possible. But again, it's their work. And I mm-hmm. may think that the way a blanket was thrown over a couch is so silly. It's like, why are you picking this apart? Sure. But they are, but this might be the header image, their mm-hmm. banner photo on their website. So yeah. not only have they put the blood, sweat, and tears into the design of it for months, if not years, now this will be the first impression representation of mm-hmm. their work on their website. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of TLC that's put into these photos. I'll chime in as much as they want, and I'll stand back as much as they want to.
Yeah, because I think it's just such a different mindset, because when I get those questions at a real estate shoot from the agent, well, do you think that they should be here or here? I just kind of like, what's the most expedient thing for me to say? What's the and what does she want me to say? And, you know, yeah. and that's all I'm thinking about. To be fair, if I do have an opinion and I think, oh, you know, it looks better without that, then I'll say that. But
sure.
But in those things where in my mind, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, oh yeah, whatever, you know, oh yeah, that's great. Perfect. Leave it that way.
Yeah. My classic line, I said, it's not going to make or break the photo either right. way. Just whatever your preference is, I'd say go with your gut.
Right.
And that would hopefully expedite the real estate shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when those decisions over small things start to carry over into real estate, you're like, let's yeah. just, can we get this done?
Yes. Well, exactly. And that's what I mean. Can we get this done? And you're just saying it literally doesn't matter. The house
is either
going to sell or it's not going to sell.
Exactly.
And so, like you have to, you know, yeah, and I think if I were to even go into one of these shoots where you're spending an hour on one image, like I would have to just change my frame of mind so drastically because
for a photographer.
Yeah.
It's a huge impatient. Battle up here.
Yeah. I'm so impatient when it comes to that stuff at this point. So, and that's why I'm not going to be out there shooting that kind of stuff.
I get it. Yeah. There is, I think some real estate photographers view the commercial stuff as this kind of grass is always greener on the other side. Like it's some sort of, I don't know, heaven-like state to be in. And it's not. It's a different type of photography. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. I know there are real estate teams here in Kansas City who are killing it. They're well-oiled machines. They might even be one or two person teams. They're making more than I am. I'm just a sole proprietor. I'm probably working less, but they probably enjoy the volume where I just don't. So it's like, you know, it's trying to almost compare, this might be an extreme example, but trying to compare wedding photographers to like corporate headshot photographers. Right. You're still photographing people, but it's just, it's two very different type of genres. There might be some overlap, but you know, it's not 100% overlap.
And that kind of brings up something that, that I think is kind of interesting, and that this interplay between the real estate world and the architecture world, say, it is like, I think there's this notion, or it's just in the ether, that real estate is a lesser thing, and that real estate, if you really want to make money as a real estate photographer, you should transition to architecture work. And I think there's some resentment on the side of real estate photographers when things are geared to like, oh yeah, you know, real estate sucks. You got to go do architecture. But I think that what I'm enjoying about our conversation is actually seeing the reality of that, you know, it's a different mindset and it's a different person who's maybe going to gravitate towards these things. And it's not, that is not the end result of having a successful real estate photography business necessarily.
No, it depends on the person. It was for me. That's, you know, just what I saw, but you know, again, I'm going to compare, I mean, other types of photography. Let's say if you shoot individuals and families. I mean, there are people who will narrow down on the niche of family photographer, and there's other people who narrow down the niche of like senior graduation photos.
Right, right.
Perfect. Okay, fine. But there are skill sets within each and every one, whereas one is mainly dealing with high schoolers and another one might be dealing with middle-aged people, you know, grandma and grandpa, as well as tiny little kids. And they know how to get kids to smile and, you know, get everyone collectively and pose everyone. It's just, it's all these little intricacies that make the difference. And over time, you figure out which one's a fit and which one's not. It's the same with real estate versus, you know, commercial or what's called, you know, architecture and design, that sort of stuff. It's just, there's no single one is better than the other. I think part of it stems from probably pricing. You do have some real estate photographers going, oh, I make $200 or $300 on a shoot, whereas you'll be on a shoot and these photographers might make $2,000 or $3,000 a shoot. You go, okay, that's great, but we're not shooting every day.
Yeah, exactly.
We might be shooting once or twice a week, and that's it.
Right.
And whereas you can send your photos off to you know, to editors, maybe get them back in 24 hours. Some commercial photographers do the same, but I think a lot of us will still edit on our own work. If you spend a whole day photographing and you come up with 10 images, that's going to take almost at least a half a day, if not more, of editing behind the computer as well. So it's give and take. That's all it is. There is no genre that's better than the other. It's whichever one's a fit, honestly. It's in my opinion.
Yeah, sure. Well, but I do, and I guess just to put a cap on that a little bit, is that in the interplay between these two genres, I mean, and that's really the reason for this third day now of PMRE, the commercial and corporate, is like, I think there is though a way that we can do both. And I don't think, and I think that, you know, that's what Brandon is thinking, bringing these together, is there is just this natural, you know, relationship between these two genres of photography. And there has to be ways for real estate photographers to do commercial and vice versa.
Correct. I agree 100%.
Yeah. But you've chosen not to do that. You got rid of all the real estate.
I think what it is either camp, and we'll call them camps. I know that's such a stupid thing to call them. Some people will think they are mutually exclusive to each other. Right. And it's just not true. I mean, we've been, obviously this is a more real estate centric podcast. You do it for any length of time, sooner or later, a builder is going to call, an interior designer is going to call. Absolutely. You might even have a appliance manufacturer reach out and say, I want to license one or two photos that you did of this kitchen. They might not even know it's real estate. So right. I think the thing is educating yourself about if and when those scenarios pop up, not to come off like a novice. So hence, that's why I think this third day at PMRE is so important, because even though the end goal might not be to get to commercial, sooner or later, you're going to run into those situations, and you just need to be educated if and when you do.
Well, right. And that's a big one, just the licensing of images that you already have and or, you know, going after infringements of those licenses. Because if you don't think that you are a commercial or, you know, design photographer, but when you have appliance companies using your images on Instagram, so you realize pretty quick that you actually do commercial photography, and just, it would be nice to get paid for it.
And not basing pricing off of that completely off of like your real estate pricing. It's two very, very different things.
That is the key. That is the key. So this is great, Matthew, but I really have a burning desire to talk about social media. So let's do our social media sidebar. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more with Matthew Anderson. Aereo, baby. You know, one of the new updates that I just found out about in Aereo and that I am like super excited about is you can actually ban certain customers from placing orders. Oh my God. I have a list of like 10 customers I would like to ban from making orders. Now, I'm probably not going to do that, but to know that I have the ability to ban a customer from placing orders, man, that is some next level shit right there. Aereo is where it is at, always innovating. And obviously, you're probably not going to want to ban many customers. But you know what? That one who never pays, or that one who's just a pain in your butt or is racist, who knows? You can ban that customer right now if you're using Aereo. So go to Aereo.com. That's Aereo.com. Use the code UPMARK and you're going to get 15 free bonus listings. And Aereo, we've said it a million times, the best place to grow your business online. Something smells in the studio. You know what? Oh, it's floor plans. What a sweet, delicious aroma. These floor plans are just cooking, and boy, are they smelling good. You know, one of the best apps that you can use to capture floor plans is Second Floor app. And here's the thing. Here's what I was just thinking about with Second Floor, because you can get these floor plans instantly, right? And we've talked about that so many times. It's how you can go in and you can actually deliver the floor plan while you are on site. It is that quick with GLA measurements to your agent. But you know what? We've talked about that. But you know, in practice, why would you do that? Well, here's why you would do it. Is you can upsell that. If they need that floor plan right now, you just say, hey, look, give me $100 extra. It's yours right now. I have the capability to do that. I mean, look, I got to pay a lot extra to, you know, I got to pay my provider a lot extra to provide this service, when in reality, you don't. It's just included. You can have it done right away. And just like that. That's how it works at Second Floor app. And then that's $100 extra that you've gotten. So look, how much money can you make by delivering instant floor plans? Probably a lot. So go to secondfloorapp.com/upmarket and you're going to get a free month of service. I mean, that's incredible. If you're doing like a rush floor plan every single day for a month, I mean, that's $3,000 right there. Oh my goodness. If you're charging $100, that is. And why wouldn't you? secondfloorapp.com/upmarket. Go check it out and start making some sweet, delicious, good smelling floor plans. Social media sidebar time. And look, we're Upmarket Pod across all social media. That's Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And so you're already following us on Instagram because you've entered the iGuide sweepstakes. So you know where Upmarket Pod is throwing down all the social media goodness. Matthew Anderson, where can we find you online?
I'm not on TikTok at all. I'm not that good of a dancer. But my main vehicle is Instagram. So it's at Matthew A. Photo. And it's Matthew with two T's, A photo.
All right, Matthew A. Photo. And then you've got a pretty popular YouTube channel, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yes, I do have a YouTube channel. This is almost a testament to where I am right now with it. It is almost, I think it's been over 2 months since I've uploaded anything. I do everything myself. So I do, obviously, the recording, the editing, all that. And so I just have not had time. I do have two videos kind of in the chamber, so to speak. Yeah, so they should be up within the next 2 weeks. But yeah, right. So I have a YouTube channel. You can just look it up at, just type in Matthew Anderson Photography. It's related to a lot of things that some tutorials as far as editing, but you know, mixed in with some business stuff related to commercial and real estate. So it's kind of a little bit, little something for everybody.
Right. But I feel like you do have quite a few YouTube followers, right? I mean, that's kind of like, in our industry, you're a bit known for your YouTube channel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I mean, I'm almost at, if last time I looked, close to 14,000 subscribers.
Right.
I think with, you know, we're, all things considered, it's relatively decent because, you know, it's not, my channel's not just related to all things photography. It's even narrowed down within that niche. So. Sure. Yeah, all things considered, I think it's pretty decent.
So, for that, you're really focused on a photographer audience. So that's really not a channel that's for your photography clients.
No, but it does. But I do know the clients see it, and that is part of the underlying strategy. Why one of the bullet points as to why I started a YouTube channel in the first place.
Well, see, that's interesting because how does this kind of stuff that is, I guess you view as extra, or I view as extracurricular in a way, how is that in, it's perfect pronunciation. How is that, rebuilding your main business, right? Because, you know, and it's almost the same with this podcast. Like, I don't really promote this to realtors because we absolutely talk shit about them all the time. But I can though, you know, I do pull out sometimes, we have an industry leading podcast in our industry and I think it gives you
I think probably the same reason you do it, or at least one of the same reasons, is it does kind of help out with your perception as an expert.
Yeah.
I've never claimed to be the greatest photographer in the world. If anything, I've admitted that one of the reasons I even put this stuff out is as if, you know, there's this fantasy illustration that is, if my videos were going to a younger version of myself who's looking to start this business, you know, what advice would I give to myself? And that's it. It's basically a channel of, hey, learn from my mistakes, and then, you know, maybe implement some different techniques when it comes to lighting and editing, that sort of stuff. But again, when people are looking for you, if they're hiring a real estate photographer, or they're looking to hire a commercial photographer, they're looking to hire almost anybody in any type of industry, they're going to creep on you. They're going to look you up. They're going to research you as much as possible. They're going to do much more than just call. They're not, you know, no one's going to say, hey, here's Matthew Anderson's phone number, and immediately pick up the phone. They're going to look at my site. They're going to look at my Instagram. They're going to look at my YouTube channel. So the more information you can put out there for them, you're doing a lot of work, and it helps actually kind of filter out the people who do end up reaching out, because then they feel they kind of know you maybe more so than the photographer, where the only thing he puts out is just his headshot on his site. That's it.
Right. No,
so it kind of helps you out, put you a little bit ahead of the game.
Yeah, no, okay. I think that was a freaking great answer, man. So let's end the social media sidebar on a high note like that. And okay, so we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna come back with more with Matthew. And then Matthew, he's already told me he's got an action item, so he's gonna want to share it with every listener who's listening. So
all three of them.
Yeah, we have four.
So sorry to underestimate you, man. Yeah, I didn't mean to insult you there.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. We'll be right back. Oh yeah, iGUIDE. I feel like we're just getting to know our friends over there at iGUIDE, and oh my God, so far, just love them. Love everything about iGUIDE. And you know about their quick capture system? It's the Planix Pro. it delivers unreal accuracy. And you know, one of the things that I find also intriguing about that, not only you get all that accuracy, but there's no big subscription fee. You know, it's a pay per project service arrangement that you have when you do iGUIDE. So, you know, you're not going to be saddled with that, you know, the hundreds of dollars of monthly fees that you might have with other 3D systems. It's a super easy to navigate 3D tour, and it outputs accurate floor plans that are available in a variety of file formats. So, I mean, you get so much stuff when you're using iGUIDE. So not only are iGUIDE being super generous and giving upmarket listeners a couple free trips to Las Vegas and a whole camera system, which, by the way, if you don't already, follow Go iGUIDE on Instagram and Upmarket Pod on Instagram. It's Go_iGUIDE on Instagram and Upmarket Pod. And go to goiguide.com/PMRE. And you can, if you do all those things, you can enter the sweepstakes to win the free trips to PMRE and the Planix Pro iGUIDE system in their early bird drawing. Get on that. And also just go to regular old iGUIDE, goiguide.com, and you can check out all the amazing features that the iGUIDE system can bring to your business and help you sell more 3D tours and make more money. All right, Matthew Anderson, you're a big time commercial photographer over there, architecture photographer in St. Louis.
Big time.
I know. And
or you Kansas City, whichever metro area you want.
Why am I calling you St. Louis?
I don't know.
I'm a delight. I'm just a true delight.
And you got to promise me you got to leave all this in.
I'll leave it in. There's every single episode of the show, I look like an idiot at some point. So it's just par for the course.
Oh, perfect. Then you and I are in the same camp.
Yeah. So an architecture photographer extraordinaire from Kansas City, Missouri, Matthew Anderson. You did not attain the heights that you have attained, I think, without some controversial
thinking. Thank you.
Yeah, without the good looks, but without... you know, kind of manifest or putting out some controversial opinions, kind of riling people up and, you know, elevating you in the process. So give me a few of these. You had, and this is in reference to a popular video you had a few months ago on YouTube about controversial things in the world of real estate photography, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to make a long story short. I still consider myself relatively new to the YouTube scene, but, you know, looking at other YouTube videos on how to grow the channel, one piece of advice I saw a lot was, hey, you know, talk about a topic that's kind of a third rail hot button issue. And I'm like, what in the world is controversial when it comes to our genre of photography? Uh-huh. And I did have this idea of like, hey, you know, what is something I've realized over time is that I basically put out a video related to tilt shift lenses, how, you know, it's not necessary. We can still get by without them. And here's three reasons why you don't need them. And then holy crap, did that ruffle some feathers? And the whole video is a little tongue in cheek. Uh-huh. And I even give the reason why I made that video in the first place at the very, very end. So people who are up in arms about it clearly didn't watch the whole thing, or they're just basing off headlines. Anyway, so I thought, hey, I want to capitalize on this controversy, quotes. And I thought, hey, I'm going to put some feelers out there on Instagram. And I told everyone else, I said, give me your controversial opinions. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what are some of your hot button takes related to this genre of photography? And I got a lot. And I was going to do a video just on myself talking to the camera. And then around that same time, I had the ticket to PMRE. And I thought, you know what would be great? Would be a really good video is I'll interview other photographers there at the conference and I'll get their opinion. Mm-hmm. So kind of a man on the street type of thing as I stuck a microphone in the face of all these other photographers and got their opinion. And yeah, it made for a really, really good video. And I'll sum up basically that when it comes to this sort of stuff, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just all tastes, opinion, artistic interpretation. Mm-hmm. But it's so fun how some photographers just dig their heels into the sand and go, no, this is the only way to do things.
Oh, yeah. Nothing I love more than arguing with photographers on Facebook. It's so fun.
It's it's productive, too.
You change a lot of opinions in there. Okay, so what are some of the hot takes? So tilt shift. Look, I'm not going to die in the tilt shift hill. I don't even care. So that's my opinion.
And what's so funny is I own 3 tilt shift lenses and I'm giving reasons why you don't need them.
Sure.
And yet people are like, why are you crapping on tilt shift lenses so hard? I'm like, dude, I'm not. I have them. I own them. I like them.
I own a bunch of stuff I don't need.
Exactly. Push comes to shove, you can get by without them.
These glasses, I need them. But outside of that and my clothes, but you know, that's kind of it. There you go.
Some of the other ones, though.
Yeah.
Let's see. There was some that didn't get quite the reaction. One was constant straight-on shots, also known as one-point perspectives. Mm-hmm. Shooting everything like that, that's overrated. That was one opinion. You should always shoot everything lights on, no matter what.
Oh, that's controversial right there. I mean, that's how I used to do it, but, you know. We still do lights on because that's what our clients want.
Yeah, that's an ongoing battle too. The lights on, lights off camp, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
This one was good. The single chair turn at the kitchen island, that single chair turn at the end drives people insane. Why? You do all this work setting up the shot and then you mess it up with one chair that's turned at the end. The attention goes right to that chair.
Okay. This is pretty crazy stuff here. I mean, wow.
This one I think will ruffle some feathers with the real estate industry, estate photographers.
Let's do it.
The flamboyant technique, flamboyant technique absolutely sucks. And that's not my opinion. That's one that was sent in to me. These are all ones that were sent in.
But you're repeating it, so therefore it is your opinion. Well, so why do you hate it so much? I mean, what's
why do I hate it? You're just putting words in my mouth. Yeah, no big deal.
I don't, you know. Okay, here we've talked that debate on this show a little bit.
Yeah,
and there is no debate to me. You're crazy if you do flamboyant, because if you're trying to do volume real estate photography, HDR baby, that's the only way to go. Because
I agree.
You know, and simply because it just makes things so much more efficient, so much easier, and the editors have gotten so good that, you know, your clients can't tell a difference. So it's like, that's the thing. Why waste your time doing flamboyant? It probably does look better, but your client doesn't care. Your client doesn't know. So,
you made a good point. Yeah. If you're a volume shooter, flambient is just, it's not the way to go.
Yeah. You can't, it's hard to train people.
Yeah. I think too, when I was talking to the photographers there, the kind of the conclusion was if it looks flambient, that's when it kind of doesn't look that great.
Okay.
You know, if you're going to use flash, try to use flash to mimic natural light. So when it has that classic flambient look, that's when it's a little sketchy, but.
Right.
Let's see. What do we got? Karate chop pillows are unnecessary and they make no sense.
Okay. You're pissing me off now.
I had a grandfather who died on that hill of karate chop pillows.
I do it in my own home.
Yeah.
You know, if I straighten a pillow, you better be sure I'm karate chopping it.
Here's the last one I got.
Okay.
Some of these are a little long winded. Let's see.
Okay. Well, it's a podcast. We can go forever.
I'm going to live to eternity. Keep going. Okay. The last one, shooters that are against using flash. And I think this might relate more to what people consider commercial, but shooters that are against flash, they shoot and say they only shoot natural light. They say that because they lack the skills to use flash.
I thought that
one was kind of interesting.
I'm sure that is true with some people, you know, let's not blanket statement everything, but yeah. Well, I used to shoot with flash forever, but I had the thing that I did. And outside of that, I didn't know how to do anything else with it. So I would go shoot a commercial shoot and shoot HDR because I wouldn't know how to light it otherwise. So I'm the embodiment of that.
and that's all the questions I have. Well, that's not all of them I have on that video that I did at PMRE, but I have a whole nother set of questions that I used at Shifter Summit. I'm not going to spoil anything on those because it's all different questions, all different set of photographers. So yeah, make sure to go to my YouTube channel, subscribe to that. Cause that'll, at this rate, it'll be out in 2027. So.
Okay. 2027. That's a long time to wait, but if you're a subscriber, you just get notified. It can be 2027 and you'll get that notification. So what is your strategy moving forward with your YouTube channel? I mean, is it something that, you are going to be doing more stuff like this? or is it really just now kind of on the, like you said, I'll show you where my mind is with it, is that you haven't posted one in 2 months. Like, and is that because you're so busy with your photography, or is it just where your interest is lying?
No, I mean, that's it. The busy nature of just regular, my regular work is the main reason. The other thing was, is like, and I don't want to get into a sob story, like I was burnt out or anything, mm-hmm. but like before Shifter Summit, cause I also emceed that.
Oh, right.
Shifter Summit was bookended with a ton of jobs. I also DJ on the side too. So there was this huge DJing gig that I had to do.
Of course,
it was
just DJ like on the side, of course.
It was a mess. And so when I came back home, I did end up taking a vacation right after all that, but I'm like, you know what? I didn't have the motivation to do it. But now I'm getting back into the swing of things. So that's why, again, within the next week or two, I hope to,
hope
to post those videos
and I think you will have probably posted these when this podcast comes out, so check that fresh content on Matthew's channel. Do you have a DJ centric channel?
No.
Okay.
No, no. I do it so little. I probably do a gig a quarter.
Oh, okay. And I was wondering if you were getting, if it's a similar motion and you're going to get carpal tunnel in your hands, from pressing the shutter and from twisting the knobs. Do you scratch with the record or whatever? Do you do that?
No, I barely scratch. I practice scratching, but when it comes time to actually do a gig, I just mix. So, cause I'm just, it's getting stage fright. That's what it is. I'm like, man, I could really screw this up.
Well, yeah. Well, here's my hot take with DJing. So I can throw some hot take out. It's like, I always thought it was total bullshit. It's like, come on.
It is.
Make a freaking playlist in iTunes. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine, a realtor, actually one of our realtors, moonlights as a DJ. And we were at a picnic and he had his DJ thing set up and I'm like, oh yeah, let me go DJ. And then I go over there and it was hard. I was so annoyed that it actually takes skill, because then all my preconceived notions had to fly out the window. And it's like, now look, I'm still not saying these guys should get $500,000 to go DJ the party in Ibiza, but come on, it does take a little more skill than I thought. So
yeah, it's a lot of blending songs you might not have otherwise thought that could go together to keep the party going. And then another part too is reading the room, reading the crowd. And the last big gig I did, there were some tracks in there that I thought were going to hit and that kind of landed a little flat. And there were other ones, we were getting requests for other stuff that I'm like, it was a relatively younger crowd, like in the mid 20s. And somebody comes up and says, wants to hear Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Oh. Personally, I love that song. And I'm like, is this going to hit with this crowd? Holy cow. They went nuts. Mm. Note to self. I mean, next time I have a demographic of like that at a party, I'm throwing it in there. You learn something new every day.
Wow. Well, you gotta pivot as you spin. Pivot as you spin.
It's a lot of improvisation for sure.
So the focus of the YouTube channel will be still on this continuing education. And I mean, but do you see a path? So Matthew, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, what's the trajectory now that with these kind of two parallel paths that you're having?
I feel like I'm being interviewed for a job.
Yeah, I'm not eventually gonna hire you.
I want to take over this podcast.
Okay.
I would like to. So
yeah, bring a level of professionalism.
I honestly don't have. I'm a lot like the Joker in The Dark Knight. I look like a guy with a plan? I just do things. Ideally, yes, I would hope to build the YouTube channel more. I would love to do more of actually what I did back in the latter part of last year, is to travel to other unique parts of the world, photographing unique spots and doing tutorials related to that. Mm-hmm. I think a cool thing is unique, like vacation rental properties. They provide, basically it's just open access. And so you can have your pick of properties to rent out for several days, do tutorials, and put that out as helpful content. My end goal is to be the guy that helps out a lot of people. I know that sounds so cheesy, but I have nothing else to offer. So I kind of want to be somewhat of a hub of information that's helpful to a lot of, you know, novice and intermediate photographers, because it wasn't that long ago when I got into it. There wasn't a ton. I mean, the nice thing is now with YouTube and the internet, there's more and more and more and more. So if someone just looks back and goes, oh, Matthew was a figure in my development that helped me, you know, hone my skills and my craft and my business. Perfect. That's exactly what I want to hear.
It'll all be worth it.
I hope so.
That's what we have with this podcast. That's, you know, we actually, you know, I joke around about it, but that's the whole thing. It's like, we just want to help people and, you know, have a have a good time while we're doing it. And helping people, you know, what is required. If you help somebody, you have to take some action. And so I think that means that it's time for our action items. And as always, I am delighted to say that our action items this week are sponsored by Pixel CRM. You can unlock the full potential of your real estate photography business, your real estate media business. Come on, it's not just photography. With Pixel CRM, the all-in-one CRM and marketing platform built by a real estate photographer. His name's Pete Stegel. And it's for real estate photographers and media professionals. Pixel CRM is designed to help you attract and retain clients through marketing systems and automation. And it's true. It does all those things and like a whole heck of a lot more. So if you go to pixelcrm.com upmarket, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial. That's pixelcrm.com upmarket/upmarket. And that's PIXLCRM. No E in Pixel, but don't worry. They don't skimp on the E's in the actual CRM. Anytime there's a word that needs an E, they put it in there. So don't you worry. PixelCRM.com/upmarket. Okay, Matthew, because I'm the unprepared host, so I'm going to go ahead and go first in this one. I think I've earned that. And this is something that I'm going to put into practice coming in the next few days is, okay. and I may have said something about a similar one a few weeks ago as an action item, but you know what, if I did, too bad, because I think it's worth repeating. But I want everyone, and especially now that we're really in the midst of spring and getting crazy with business, is take a little bit of time for self-care. And that's even if it's like just an hour, or if you can, a whole afternoon of just do something where you don't have to think about real estate photography. You don't have to think about any of that stuff. Just do something for yourself. Go on a walk, do some exercise, get a massage, meditate, whatever it is. And I'm really, I feel like I've been really bad at doing that for a while now. And I this is really an action item for myself, but I also want to extend it to everyone else. It's just, just love yourself a little bit more and take just a little bit of self-care. So there
you
go. Big
advocate of that. I agree 100%.
All right, Matthew, top that, buddy.
All right. Self-care. No, I'm sorry. I've got two. My first one is
the double action,
you
know, item.
Again, it's related to what we've been talking about. If you think, whether or not you think you're ever going to transition over to more commercial or architecture and design type photography or not, I think a lot of photographers only put out when it comes to like social media and their website, and you know, they only put out their work. It's just photos of of, you know, real estate photos, and that's it. The photographer themselves are kind of this mystery figure. I know a lot of people are reluctant to do it, but you have to put yourself out there. You are, whether you're a sole proprietor, you're a one person show, or you're a team, you got to put yourself out there, you know, and you may not know what to do. I always say by default, put out some tips and tricks related to photography. You know, hey, if this might seem counterintuitive, but it's like, hey, real estate agents, if you don't want to hire a photographer, here's some tips and tricks on how to take better photos with your iPhone. That might stir the pot, but lo and behold, you've now stirred the pot for good reason. You now come off as the expert. So you don't have to be over the top boisterous to put, you know, to make good content when it comes to social media. Just put yourself. The first few posts of, you know, being in front of a camera are going to be uncomfortable. But I think it'll pay off in the long term.
Well, and we just had, just a couple episodes ago, we had Kelsey Curtis on, who's hosting PMRE this year, and she has the two swipe test, right? So if you're on someone's Instagram and it's their business account and you swipe up twice and you don't see pictures of people or of your team or yourself, or video of yourself or your team, you're failing the two swipe test, because people want to get to know you. They want to make sure that they see the faces behind the business and that you are human and that you bring value, because it is ultimately, it's always a relationship business. And so you have to have a way to form relationship with potential clients.
I agree 100%. All right, you want my number two?
Let's do it. The ultra rare double action item.
It's not going to piss anybody off, but it's definitely it's not exciting. It's not sexy, but it is something you're going to have to do, and that is register your freaking photos with the copyright office.
There you go. There you go. Oh, Mister, I do.
Yes, I became that guy.
I do four shots in a day, and so therefore I'll just go register my photos. So
no. I know the first, you, especially from real estate photographers, their first argument against this is, we shoot thousands of photos within a month. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. Register those 1,000 photos. It's, we as photographers, we have a product that we produce. We don't have a hard good, mm-hmm. but we still have a product, and it is intellectual property. So it is still property. Think of any other type of business that sells hard goods. There's some sort of policies or programs or insurance mm-hmm. policies that protect those, that type of work and protects those products. You may not think it's worth your time to do so, and that's fine, but keep in mind, you are also hindering and it's doing damage to other photographers as well. And it's not just in your local area. It's to photographers collectively.
Yeah.
It's to all photographers, because the reason why so many photos get stolen is because companies know they can get away with it. Because so many photographers go, "Why? Well, I don't want to register them, and I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want to mm-hmm. raise, I don't like conflict."
Sure.
That same business that stole your photo, if they decide to do a commercial and use a Taylor Swift song without permission, you better believe there's going to be some conflict there. Now, it might be at a different scale versus using a photo, but it's still intellectual property that's being used. So yeah, it's mm-hmm. just protect yourself. If you're in this game for any period of time, there, you will hit a point where if you're not registering, you will look back and go, "I wish I would have." That's for sure. Well, I did it too.
Yeah. And we have registered. We don't always register. I mean, it's just, we don't have the workflow down, and with the volume, it's really hard. And we have our admin do it, but it's a laborious process. And I just, if it were,
yes.
I just wish it were easier. And obviously I wish a lot of things were easier, but.
That's the other bit of advice is you look into services that will do it for you. There's also attorneys that do it for you. My attorney does it for me. They do it every quarter. They charge me $75 a quarter mm-hmm. to upload it. So there are other services out there that will register your work for you. So yes, it is cumbersome to do it on your own. Just look into it. There's other people who can make that part of your business really simple and easy.
Okay. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about outsourcing I had thought about, maybe our VA could do it. But I of course did not realize that there are services that you can hire out to do it.
Yeah. So, there's not a ton. There's a few, but yeah, definitely look into it.
Yeah. All right. We will. Okay. Matthew, great tip. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with you at the Palms in Las Vegas and you buying me a drink. So I think that's...
Sorry, you broke up there. So I did not hear that buying you stuff part. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, it's okay. That's okay. You can listen back to the podcast when it comes out and you'll hear it.
Yeah, it's practically in writing at this point.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, thank you so much. And I really appreciate
you're
you
very welcome.
On. All right.
No, I appreciate you having me on. This was a blast.
Upmarket is a production of Upmarket Studios. This episode was produced by Chelsea Froelich and edited by Bethany Diedrich. Thank you so much for listening, and we really hope you listen to the next one too. In the meantime, our wish for you is to not have to shoot any Friday night Twilight shoots. Thank you for everything.